Thank you very much, Marvi, and over to you, Robin.
Thank you very much, Maryam. This is Robin Gross, again for the record. I'm on the executive committee of the non-commercial stakeholder group, and Tapani's asked me to fill in and moderate this Meet the Candidates call, the second of call to talk with the candidates for the non-commercial stakeholder group GNSO Council elections, which are going on now. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask each one of the candidates who are on the call for the GNSO Council if they've got sort of an opening statement or a few things that they'd like to say to sort of kick this off. And in the interim, if people would like to post questions directly to the candidates, go ahead and post those in the chat, and then Maryam will copy them over to the whiteboard for so we can include them in the discussion of this meeting. Okay, so let's just get started here with the candidate. I see on the bridge we have Arsene Tengali. Arsene, would you like to go first and give us a synopsis of your candidate statement for the record?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me, Robin?
Loud and clear.
Hello, can you hear me now? Much clearer?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Well, it's actually an honor and a privilege to be nominated for the GNSO Council. And I really take this nomination seriously because I consider it as a huge responsibility to be representing, if elected, to be representing the stakeholder group that I've been a member of since 2014. I've been following discussion and meeting members online as well, offline. So I consider it, if elected, a great opportunity for me to be pretty much at the service of the community. The capabilities and knowledge that I have with advocating for non-commercial issues. So I'm fairly new, as I said in my statement, that I'm really I'm very young and I'm really happy and available to put on the time and energy that is required for me to be able to represent the NCFG very well. So I humbly present myself as one of the newcomers that are willing to take on this responsibility and to put in time and energy that is needed actually to support the policy development process of the council. Because I believe the NCFG is willing to promote new voices, and I believe this is the time for new people as well to join the council and bring in new perspectives, bring in new voices, because we've had so many members who are actually veterans. And they've done so many, so great, they've done very well. And so I believe the NCFG needs also new voices that will be joining our veterans in order to bring forward and to speak up for the issues that we care most, the issues that we care about, and the issues that we've been working for many years as NCFG. So, yeah, I really look forward to this call when I'll be able to answer some of the questions that our valued members would like to know. Apart from what I wrote in my statement, I believe there will be other questions that our members would like to hear answers from me before they can cast their vote. So I'm really open, and I really hope I will have a good time chatting with our members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that was, again, Arsene Tengali, who's one of our candidates for the GNSO Council election, which is going on now. Okay, let's go to our next candidate on the list here. I'm looking over at the phone bridge, and Tatiana Pina is the next name on the list. Tatiana, are you on the line? Can you give us a synopsis of your candidate statement at this point?
Hi, Robin. Can you hear me? This is Tatiana Trupina speaking.
Yep, you're coming in loud and
clear. Can you hear me well? Super. Thank you very much. So I think that I already stated myself wisely on the last call, on the previous call on Friday, and I think that you already saw my candidate statement. So I'm sorry if you heard this already.
I think we've lost. I think we've lost Tatiana there. Okay. Whoops. Okay. Why don't we try to get her dialed back in? And in the interim, let's skip and go to the next person on the list. And then when we've got Tatiana back on the line, we can circle back around to her. Okay. Apologies for that, folks. Okay. Looking over at the participants list here. Seeing who our candidates are, I see the first name is Aiden Ferdeline. Aiden, are you able to give us a synopsis of your candidate statement at this time?
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Robin. And hi, everyone. This is Aiden Ferdeline, the record. Thank you for joining the call today. I'm really pleased to be here and to express my interest in representing you on the GNSO Council. I am willing and I am able to represent the NCSG as a GNSO Councillor, and it would be a great privilege to do so. I've been a member of the NCEC for almost 2 years now, and since December, I have been the NCEC's representative on the CSG Policy Committee. I like to think that I am an active member in our community, and I do what I can to stay in contact with a wide range of our members and to involve myself in a wide array of activities across the ICANN community. I believe that I am well qualified to represent the NCSG as I have a working knowledge of ICANN now, and I also have an understanding of internet policy more broadly. I am interested in and committed to advocating for freedom of expression and privacy as they relate to GNSO issues. And more than anything, I want to see that non-commercial activities and interests are better reflected in policy outcomes at ICANN. A commitment that I can make to you, if you do choose me to represent you on the GNSO Council, is that I will listen to you. I will feed back information from the GNSO Council to the broader NCSG membership. I will work with our executive committee at the NCSG level to see how I can make that happen. I thought very seriously about whether or not I want to serve on the council, and the honest answer is that as recently as the Copenhagen meeting in March, I didn't see a place for myself on the council. I thought that it's very easy to be pulled this way, that way, or the other in ICANN, and I thought I have a very specific area of interest that I wanted to develop. But I've given it a lot of thought, and I've come to realize that I think there is something that I have to bring to the council, and I recognize the significant time commitment this will entail, and I think it's something that I'm up for. If anyone has any questions about my positions, my background, my qualifications, or wants to dig even deeper as to why I want to represent the NCSG, Please ask questions during this call or reach out to me afterwards on Skype or via email, and I would be happy to speak with you further. But I might just conclude my remarks for now by saying how honored I would be to represent the NCSG on the GNSO Council, and that if I was elected to this role, my primary focus would be on amplifying our voice on council and making sure that non-commercial interests and activities are better reflected in policy outcomes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Aiden. Again, that was Aiden Ferdeline for the record. Okay, well, let's try now to go back to Tatiana Tropina and see We've got her on the line now for her candidate statement. Please, Tatiana.
Hi, Robin. Can you hear me now? Because I'm trying to speak from my computer microphone.
Yep, it sounds just fine. Thank you.
Super. I'm very happy about it. So I'm sorry, I will start where I stopped, and that was about repetitions because you probably read my statement and heard from me on the previous call on Friday. So there has been no question for me in the last year whether I want to serve a non-commercial stakeholder group or non-commercial users constituencies for as a part of it, just because I'm already active at ICANN. I'm already active at Accountability Working Group. I'm already active at Internet Governance Working Group, and I'm already an elected member of the NCGC Executive Committee for Europe, where in this position I already did outreach several times. I worked on different processes and documents for the NCGC. So why council? I know that we all can be active without being on the council. I know that we can all advocate for non-commercial interests without being a council. But I think that my primary and my ultimate aim getting myself, putting my name forward for these elections is that I really want non-commercial stakeholders' voice to be heard. And it's not only about the number of seats, as I said in my statements. We have 6 voting councillors. So it's about how we actually advocate for our positions, how we build alliances, how councillors actually communicate with the broader NCSG membership, how the information flows from the members, how we take into account the positions. Because I know that councillors can sometimes be vocal, but they can go completely, for example, not really in line with what constituency or stakeholder group thinks. And while I think that this is a moral right of the councillor to state their position, I think that we have to be more connected to what actually stakeholder group wants, what are the voices of the members. And in this regard, as I said in my statement, I have 3 aims. First of all, I want to be visible and present as a council, as a member of non-commercial stakeholder group. I want to inform the membership of our stakeholder group about policy processes. I want to get engaged in capacity building among our membership. And I want to collaborate and communicate with other stakeholder groups and constituencies, because I do believe that this is one of the key issues, because we do have common grounds, we do have common positions, and we do not exist in vacuum. I think that's pretty much enough. A bit about my qualification. I have been working in the field of cybersecurity for the last almost 16 years, and I made it from private industry to academia. I studied in Russia, in the UK. I worked in Germany, in Switzerland, and I'm pretty much international, and I'm pretty much connected to many stakeholders. I'm active in the IG spaces, and in the last few years, my career was fully concentrated mostly on policy making, law making, and capacity building. So for me, getting in the thick of policymaking, ICANN is a very logical step. And last but not least, I want to ensure on the NCSG Council that all we want as non-commercials is still within ICANN mandate, is still within this narrow mandate of policymaking in the DNS. Thank you very much. That's all from me. And yes, if you have any questions, you can either ask here or approach me privately. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, for the record, that was Tatiana Shokina. We do have 2 other candidates for the GNSO Council election who are not on this call today, but were on Friday's call. And so I would like to encourage folks to go back and listen to the recording to hear what those candidates had to say. And I'm talking about Michael Karanikolas and Martin Silva. Are the other 2 candidates who were not able to be on today's call, but were on Friday's. Okay, so now that we've heard a little bit of an opening statement from each one of these candidates, let's have some questions from the members for the candidates. And as I've said before, just please go ahead and type your questions into the chat box, and Miriam will move them over to the whiteboard, and we'll just sort of go down in order that, that they're asked. Okay, so we've got our first question here. Question to the candidates. Here we go. Considering NCSG has policy work on freedom of expression, human rights, etc., I'd like to know, one, are you all planning to go to Abu Dhabi? Two, are you scared given the country human rights offenses record? Three, will you fight for better meeting criteria? Okay, so let me just go down the list in the same order that I just initially went, and if folks would like to order that, answer that first question, candidates, that would be terrific. Arsene, are you on the line still? Can you field that first question for us?
Yeah, Robin, I'm actually on the line, but can you please repeat the question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear much of it. I'm sorry for that.
Yes, I'd be happy to, and I'm sorry that you're not able to read it. Also, I realize that that helps, and since you're only on the phone bridge, you don't get to read it. So let me read it again. Considering NCSG has policy work on freedom of expression, rights, etc., I'd like to know. One, are you all planning to go to Abu Dhabi? Two, are you scared given the country's human rights offenses record? And three, will you fight for better meeting criteria? Did you get it that time, Arsene?
Yeah, Candice, I believe I heard the most of it. Actually, probably I didn't mention it, but I'm a strong advocate and someone who's really, really very, very known. I believe not only on the African continent, but globally as well, is one of the strong civil society voices working, fighting against human rights violations. And as an African who has gone through a lot of these challenges, a lot of these violations, I believe I'm one of those who are actually in the forefront of fighting against freedom of expression. Not only because I've learned about what's going on in other countries, or I've heard or read on Google or during discussion, but these are some of the facts or the issues that I'm meeting in my daily life, living in a country where there is a lot of this type of violation. And so, and this is something that I want our members to understand. I'm one of those people who are actually fighting against these type of issues. And because I know these are some of the issues that non-commercial users usually face as some of the threats against their freedom of expression or their rights. So I'll try to answer some of the questions that were asked. With regard to fighting for, and I'm sorry again, I'm on the phone, so I can't read on the screen. Fighting for better venues, and this is something I think I mentioned once or twice on the list, either on the MCG or any other list where we're discussing, but where I can bring its members for the public meeting. Again, I've been facing a lot of issues attending ICANN meetings, not only because of the issues of access to funding, but the issues of visa, having visa. I'm one of coming from developing countries. We are having a lot of issues obtaining visas to attend different ICANN meetings, especially when they are happening in some countries which are really not open. Not as open as they should be in welcoming international participants who are attending this ICANN meeting. And so, going to Abu Dhabi, I believe we had a discussion recently, and everyone gave their views about Abu Dhabi and the history with regard to human rights, the history with regard to freedom of expression and any other rights. So I don't know much about the history of this specific country, but from the little I've heard about human rights issues in this country, I believe the ICANN meeting actually will be kind of a push in helping the country look probably or discuss more of these issues of freedom of expression and other rights. So Akanda, I'm glad with ICANN having the meeting there. though some people won't be able to make it, but I believe if we are able as the NCSG to have a discussion around human rights, around expression and privacy and other rights, I believe if we have strong discussion in that specific country, I'm really hoping that can bring kind of a plug in supporting the work of other civil society groups and other organizations which are fighting against these kind of issues. So I'm not yet sure whether I'll be able to be in Madrid before this specific meeting for so many reasons, but I believe if I'm able to go there, I will really be open and speak up against some of the threats that the government or any other actors is imposing against the people of this country with regard to the ability to freely express themselves, the ability of the citizens of this country to enjoy their rights and be able to live in a country that is treating everyone and putting everyone on their where they should be. So in brief, I will continue advocating for ICANN to be able to choose the venues that are open for more participants from different backgrounds and countries where people won't have issues accessing with regard to visa or any other issues of human rights violations and et cetera. So this will be one of the fights probably whenever on the council there will be discussions or any policy approach that is going to work in this line, I'll be happy to be vocal and speak up against some of these issues so that we can have like outcomes that support freedom of expression and other rights. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Arsene. Mariam wanted me to let you know that she is emailing the questions to you as they come in as well. So if you have email access, you should be able to get a written text of the questions to that as well. Okay, so let me go on to the next candidate to answer that same question. Aiden Ferdeline, please.
Thank you for that, Robin. Hi, everyone. This is Aiden Budlin for the record. And thank you to Renata for the question. I will try to address them piece by piece. So to the first point, am I planning to go to Abu Dhabi? I will respond in affirmative there. To your second question, am I scared given the country's human rights offenses record? No, I'm not. So there is no question that the United Arab Emirates has a long way to go in some areas, but it's also doing very well in others. And while there are many areas of its human rights record which are atrocious, it is also a very pluralist and tolerant society. I spent quite a bit of time in the Gulf. I grew up, not everyone on this call may know, but I grew up in a lot of prominently in fragile states and in developing countries as a child, and the views that I have of the Gulf are quite complex. But suddenly the stories that we hear to do with migrant labor in the United Arab Emirates are not the greatest exponents of basic human rights. But in terms of global humanitarian aid donations and in other areas, the country does do good work. And to be honest, I am far more disgraced with the country that I live in at the moment in terms of its refugee policy and human rights for asylum seekers than I am towards the UAE. But I should get off from that because we're not here to talk about foreign policy. We're here to talk about ICANN's meeting structure and strategy. Would I fight for better meeting criteria? If I'm honest, it's not going to be at the top of my list, but all the same, I do think it is something that we need to revise whether the current meeting strategy is fit for purpose. Is it something that I would do in Abu Dhabi? No. And that's because I think there are some other issues that need to take center stage. But I certainly believe that in terms of venues for ICANN meetings, there needs to be more sensitivity towards maximizing participation. But there also needs to continue to be a global rotation. And if we were to impose some rather high standards for human rights, which on one level I really agree with, it could mean that there are some regions of the world that would never see an ICANN meeting. And I'm not sure that's the best approach, that's the outcome that we want. So to sum up my answer again, yes, I will be in Abu Dhabi. I'm not scared at all. Absolutely not. And that is not to excuse the country's human rights record, but it is simply to be realistic and to say that the internal perception of its human rights record is not always fair, in my opinion. And in terms of fighting for better meeting criteria, it will not be my number one issue, but I would certainly be open to ensuring that the venue selection discussions that take place in the future are more sensitive to a larger number of criterions. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Aidan. Tatiana, would you like to answer this first question, please?
Thank you very much, Robin. Yes. So my answer to the first question is just shortly, yes, I'm planning to go to Abu Dhabi. Number two, am I scared? Well, not really. I'm not scared because of the country's human census record. And I agree with Aidan that many what we call developed countries, even in Europe or in Eastern Europe or some other countries, have no less record of human rights violation, and they're not really much more disgusting. I do feel a bit uneasy as a woman going to this kind of country, but I feel completely safe, so I'm not scared. Will I fight for the better meeting criteria? Well, let's say I believe that we all have to fight for the better meeting criteria. But I think that the meeting criteria, first of all, should think not only about human rights offenses or violations. I think that we have to think about how available visa regime is, how ICANN can better support those who are going to these countries in terms of visas, in terms of access to travel to these countries. And if I'm thinking about better meeting criteria, this access would be my priority, because as someone who has Russian passport, for example, and who has to get visa to way too many countries in this world, I know that sometimes it is not easy. It is very hard. You basically spend your time and your money on this, and I can only imagine how it could be for some other nations. So fighting for better meeting criteria in terms of human rights offenses, as Aidan said, I agree with him, it wouldn't be on the top list of my priorities. But fighting for the places and for better support for those who are coming on visas, it would be in my top list of priorities. I don't know if, as a GNSO counselor, because I don't know what kind of effect it would have, but as NCSG and NCUC member, apparently, yes, I will fight for this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Okay, let me go on to the next question here, and we're starting to get several questions. We're up to seven now. So let me ask each one of the candidates if they could try to keep their responses to within 3 minutes questions, so we were able to get through all of the questions and all of the candidates on the call. Okay, so let me go on to question number two. What do you see as the commonalities and differences between the constituent groups of the non-commercial stakeholder group, and how do you see the issues developing over the next 12 months? Okay, Arsen, would you like to field that question, please?
Robin, I'm sorry again, since I can't read the question for now, can I request to go second or third?
Absolutely. Let me just go down to the next Aidan Ferdelin, Aidan, would you like to answer the question number two? What do you see as the commonalities and differences between the constituent groups of the NCSG, and how do you see the issues developing over the next 12 months?
Thank you for that, Robin. Hi, everyone. This is Aidan Ferdelin for the record, and I'm really pleased to respond to that question. We had so much in common that between the NCUC and NPOC are aligned on so many issues. We both represent the public interest in internet governance discussions related to domain name policy. We both organize bottom-up input. We both represent the interests of non-commercial internet users who would otherwise be marginalized in the face of private sector priorities or the interests of government. We both fight for the principles of freedom of association, of due process and ICANN activities, of free expression, of privacy and data protection. And we have many common positions on ICANN policy issues to do with human rights, to do with diversity and consumer choice, to do with fairer and more balanced domain name disputes, and we both believe and support in there being a multilingual internet, domain names available in more characters and scripts, and we believe that there should be that domain name should help promote growth and development globally through, say, the new GTLD program. So we have a lot of common things. Where do we have, I believe, some differences? Well, we do have diversity of opinion within our stakeholder group, between not just between constituencies, but I think that's a great thing. That's what makes us different from the commercial order group, is that lack of coordination at times, that we are a group of people who are voluntarily coming together to bringing our own input, our own expertise, our own energy, our own ideas to issues that we care about. So sometimes we may not see eye to eye on everything, but that diversity is something that is really great. I think I'm approaching the 3 minutes. I might stop there, but my closing comment is simply to say that within the NCSG, we have far more commonalities between NPOC and the NCUC than we do have differences. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aidan. Tatiana, would you like to field this question, please?
Yes, thank you very much. It's really hard to answer this question, because Aidan really provided such a full and comprehensive overview. So I'll just say a couple of words. I do believe that the differences in terms of what we are aiming, in terms of the broad aim, there are almost no differences compared to, for example, our differences with commercial stakeholder groups or with contracted party house. I do understand that a non-profit operational concerns constituency, they are about non-profit organizations. It might sound a bit more narrow than non-commercial users constituency, which might represent a bit of a broader, you know, spectrum of issues. But I also do believe that, for example, when I read NPOC mission or when I read NPOC charter, I think that we have many things in common. And I do believe, as Aidan already highlighted, that in the next 12 months, we just have to cooperate and bring our concerns together and fight for equal representation of our constituencies in the GNSO, in the non-contracted party house, make our voice heard. And I think that in the next 12 months, we will be working on this, and I do believe that we are going to be successful in this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Okay, let's try to go back to our scene again and see if we can get this question in. I'll repeat it again, since you
won't have it in front of you. What do you see as the commonalities and differences between the constituent groups of the NCSG, and how do you see the issues developing over the next 12 months?
Hi everyone. This is Arsen again for the record, Arsen Tumbali. Thank you so much for this question. And I believe I would like to thank the person who actually sent this question, because I believe as a representative is elected of the NCSG on the GNSO Council, we will be representing both the NCUC and the NPOC and any other constituency. So it's really good for councillors to understand what's going on both constituencies in order to be able to advocate for the interest of the NCG and the overall stakeholder group. So I believe Aaron and Tatiana have touched many aspects of this. But as a non-profit executive, I've been following been following the work of the NPOC. I consider it as among the constituency that is working or fighting or working, bringing together or bringing the voices of NGOs and nonprofits within the ICANN ecosystem. So I believe in the next 12 months, I've heard so many nonprofits now joining ICANN and trying to understand how their work relates to the DMS ecosystem. How they should be, how and why they should be part of the discussion happening at the ICANN level, because as NGOs, they are also affected by the DMS, any issue that is affecting the DMS, because their online presence is also important for them. And I remember when I joined the NCG, I was also interested in the work the NPOC is doing, and I believe in the next 12 months, there will be so many NGOs that will be looking forward, that will be joining the NPOC and like to understand more on how the DMS affects their daily life or their daily operations. So on the NCC level, I believe in the next 12 months, there will be a lot of discussions with regard to human rights, freedom of expression and privacy as well, because I believe these are some of the issues that will be affecting so many countries in the world in the next few months. So in terms of differences or commonalities, I believe if you see them like differently, both constituents differently, you take on one side the NCUC and on the other side the NPOC, you may think there is a lot of differences. But when you see them on the stakeholder group level, you will see that there is actually no big difference. And as councillors, I believe we need to have that understanding and be able to represent very well the interests of both constituencies. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arsene. Let's go on to the question, and we'll go back to Aiden for this one. Here's the question. Once in the council, do you plan to act by yourself, or how do you plan to gather opinion from NCSG to intervene in policy building within the GNSO? Aiden?
Thanks for that, Robin. Hi, everyone. This is Aiden Ferdeline again. And thank you for the question. So I like to think that I am a team player, and I like to think that I'm humble enough to be able to raise my hand and to say, I don't know the answer to everything. I've been a part of ID for just under 2 years now. So I'm going to have to reach out to ask questions frequently. But there also has to be, if I'm elected to this role, I'm not there in my individual capacity. I'm there to represent you. So I need to be coming back to you to make sure that the positions that I'm advocating for are broadly in line with the views of our membership. So if I elected, I would continue to talk and to listen to a wide segment of our membership, and I would do as best I can to represent our interests. As I mentioned in my opening statement, I would certainly be seeking to work with our stakeholder groups, executive committee, and each constituency's leadership teams to discuss strategies for how I can keep our membership informed. But I'm also going to be proactive and be coming back to you. I know that the issues that the Genesville Council deals with are challenging and complex. I know that I'm going to need to collaborate with people from very different backgrounds to my own to be able to make sure that I can go into conversations informed. But Genesville Council meetings also operate under the same principles of openness and transparency as all ICANN meetings do. So mailing list conversations are archived, meetings are on the public record and transcribed. So please read and listen to my contributions and keep me accountable. If you don't think that I'm representing your views, I would want you to let me know. But at the same time, I'm going to do my best to make sure that I'm periodically coming back to the membership to gather opinion and to make sure that the positions I advocate for are totally in line with the positions that we take. And I like to think that I've done that over the past year on the policy committee, where I have shared public comments, where I have on one occasion organized a webinar where I sought to bring in new voices to an issue to understand and to gather different perspectives on it. So more of the same is what you can expect from me on this issue, but really want to emphasize, please also keep me accountable. If you think that I am acting unilaterally, I would hope that I wasn't, and it certainly wouldn't be my intention, but I'm always open to feedback. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Aiden. Tatiana, question number 3.
Thank you very much, Robin, and thanks to the person who asked this question. Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. Once in the council, once if I'm elected, do I plan to act by myself? No. Of course, I'm not planning to act by myself. Let me talk a bit about the structures, because councillors connected to the broader membership, not only via mailing lists. Or via starting any discussions or via webinars and monthly policy calls, which I encourage all you to participate in. We also have a policy committee where, in addition to the councillors, we have representatives from the NCUC and NPOC. So this is one of other channels for constituency and the broader membership opinion, because I know that the members of policy committee also sometimes send to ask for opinions, to ask for public comments. This is the first point. So I think basically there are two structures to keep us accountable and to keep us attached to reality, to connected to reality. First of all, of course, I'm going to report about the meetings. Of course, the meetings are open. You can listen to them. Of course, I'm going to launch discussions and ask for your opinions, be it policy development process or specific issues for particular council meeting or specific issue for the public comment. But I would also work actively with the policy committee, not only as a councillor representing my own opinions, but also in connection to the representatives of the both constituents which are serving on the policy. So this is how I'm planning to gather the opinions, first of all, from the broader membership via different channels, and secondly, by consulting together with the policy committee and exchanging opinions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Okay, let's go to Arsene on the phone bridge. Question number 3 is the following. Once in the council, do you plan to act by yourself, or how do you plan to gather opinion from NCSG members to intervene in policy within the GNSO? Arsene?
Yes, Robin. This is Arsene Kimberly speaking for the record. For the first question, representing myself, that would be a big no, because actually I will be elected not to represent my own views, but I will try as much as possible to be representing you, to be representing our valued members. Because the thing is, we can't have everyone on the council, and so the few that would be elected by our members are the ones that will be representing the voices of the membership. So it's something really, really important for us to understand, and I hope our members will understand this as well, that they should be conveying, or they should be reaching out to us whenever there is anything that they feel needs to be highly spoken about. And so this will be on one way, but I believe the other way is the most important for us as councillors, and that should be the second thing that I'll be saying. We have the mailing list, or which is our group too, that should be helping us to communicate, to reach out to members whenever there is anything specific that we need to receive inputs from our members. So everyone has, I believe that all the candidates have spoken about the need to strengthen the communication between membership and their representatives, which is something really valuable as well, and something that we'll be pushing for in the council. There is one thing which is really, really important, and I'm speaking from the perspective of a newcomer. We need our councillors and all our representatives to be available and make themselves known by our members. This is something that I will really, really try and push forward to once elected in the council. Most of the times, members don't know who are their representatives on various bodies, unless they go themselves to check on the website or check on the wiki page or ask any other member. But we need to make sure our councillors and all our other representatives are showing up and mentioning that they are representing membership in this specific group or in this specific area, so that our members know who to reach out to whenever there is any specific issue. I've seen in the past when attending ICANN meetings, our councillors, they're actually doing well because they are busy participating in different meetings and different workshops and working groups. But they also, and I believe this is something that I personally will be pushing for, we also need to make sure we are available for our members during public meetings. I believe this is something really, really important that our members would like to rely on, because they can't only reach out to us over email, but we also need to make sure we are available and approachable. Not only waiting for our members to be coming to us, but most of the times making sure we go and meet newcomers, because we go and meet our new members. We, during our public meetings on site, we also make sure our members can easily reach out to us even after the specific meeting. So I think this is something I personally be pushing for if elected for the council, for our members to know us, to know we are representing them in which group or in at which instance, so that they are able to reach out to us whenever there is anything they want to talk to us. So to sum up, I'll be making sure I represent the people, and one of the ways to represent the people is to share with them the outcomes of the discussion or any discussion that is happening on the council, but also seeking their input. So we won't only wait for our members to reach out to us over email or even during public meetings to go and look for us, but we also try to make sure we go and look for our members in order to talk to them and engage them in some other discussions. Because we have some members who can be shy, or because they believe, because they are new, they might be afraid, they have probably silly questions. But I'll try to make sure, because I've been into their feet as well, I'll try to make sure our members understand that ICANN is very complex, and they shouldn't worry, or they shouldn't be worried about approaching their representatives and asking a question, any clarification, or even asking them any updates about what's going on the council. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arson. Okay, let's go to the next question, number 4, and it is a two-parter. as follows. What is your strategy to raise awareness about digital rights outside NCSG? And how tend to create capacity building opportunity among members of NCSG? Okay, let's go back and ask Agent Ferdelene to answer question four. I'm not hearing anyone. Aiden, are you on the line? Can people hear me?
Robin, I'm on the line. Robin, I'm on the line. I can hear you. This is Austin.
Okay, okay. Aiden, are you talking? Because I don't hear you. I don't know if others hear you. Okay, he says, yes, I am talking. Okay.
No, I can't hear
you. Well, for some reason, I'm not hearing you. You know, sometimes
Robin,
I click the mute and unmute and then the mute and the unmute, and sometimes that sort of does the trick.
I've tried it now. Can you hear me by any chance?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Oh, great. I'm glad the audio has returned. Hi, everyone. This is Aiden Ferdelene, for the record. And I was just saying that it's a really great question, and I understand why it was asked. To the first point, raising awareness about digital rights outside of the NCSG, I'm looking to raise awareness about digital rights on the genus of council. And that's probably as far outside of the NCG as I'm looking to go at this time. The reason for that is I want to be offering public interest oriented contributions that provide some balance against the commercial interests on council. I want to be providing amendments or alternative wording on ICANN policy proposals, deliverables, or decisions that better reflect the views of non-commercial internet users. And I want to make sure that the decisions that are being made are diverse and inclusive. So that is probably as far outside of the NCHD as I'm looking to go, but I would certainly be up for having conversations with the leadership of the NCHG to see how we can take it further. Certainly, last year for the NCUC, I moderated a panel on our behalf at the World Summit of Information Society with the kind support of ICANN, and I've spoken at NCUC outreach events three times this year. So it's certainly up for participating in capacity building programs that upscale our members. I've also been involved in developing the NCUC's onboarding program, which will be piloted very soon. So want to be involved in capacity building where I can, but at least at the moment, I'm running to be on the GNSO Council to be involved more in policy work, and I'm not looking to make engagement and outreach what I spend the majority of my time on. But I want to be, but I certainly recognize that outreach, engagement, and capacity building efforts are critical to making sure that we can engage effectively with other stakeholder groups, that we have other people who are well versed in ICANN policy issues that I can turn to for advice when I need it, people who are able to follow the issues that I can't or have language skills that I do not have. So want to be involved in capacity building, absolutely, but my focus is also going to be at the moment on being a GNSO count if I'm elected. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Aiden. Tatiana, can you take question number four, please? Tatiana, are you on the line? Can you take question number
yes,
four?
Yes, Robin. Yes.
Ah, there you are. Great.
Yes, Robin. Thank you very much. Yes, I'm here. So the question about raising awareness about digital rights outside NCSG, let me be clear, like if I'm talking about something that is not related or related to ICANN, a part of me is actually about raising awareness and embedding digital rights into the policy in cybersecurity and internet governance. So this is my main job. That's what I'm doing for life. But I don't and that this question is definitely connected to what NCSG actually stands for, what kind of rights we are fighting inside ICANN, and how to inform the broader community about it. As engaged in several outreach activities and also, like, for example, in an organization of this session, about, for example, private ordering at ICANN, at the RightsCon, and so on. So I believe that many of us consider outreach to be recruiting. So when you go outside and you recruit new members, I do believe that outreach for me always bore a much more interesting function. It's also about informing the broader community on what is happening at ICANN, on what ICANN is doing, on what non-commercials are standing for, and how we are fighting our fights, and what are our achievements and failures. And I believe that in this sense, I have already provided my input into informing the broader community about it. And I will continue doing this, whether I'm elected for GNSO Council or not. Now, about informing our community and creating capacity building among the members of the NCSG. I already talked about reports from the GNSO Council. I already talked about channels of communications like mailing list and informing the members, and about broader outreach capacity building. I want to say something about very specific things. First of all, don't forget about our monthly policy calls, where GNSO counselors are supposed to take part and inform the broader community on what is going on. Then I believe that we do policy outreach with the counselors, and I do believe that we will continue doing so. I believe that we will probably have more NCSG outreach policy sessions and webinars. And also, in addition to outreach policy sessions, for example, I participated in several sessions on, for example, accountability process at ICANN. I also believe that in this regard, what we did at NCUC, like, for example, webinars for newcomers, there was a very successful one organized by Farzan a few months ago when we just brought together people who are active on specific topics and we informed newcomers. I think it was before the Copenhagen meeting. We informed newcomers on what kind of policy development process are going on what kind of accountability process we are working on, and how to join, whom to contact, how can we be helpful. And I believe that as a GNSO counselor, I will be a focal point for several issues, like, for example, human rights, like for those who want to engage in accountability discussion, I don't know, jurisdiction, and so on and so forth. And I do believe that as an individual who has expertise on some issues, I can be responsible and I can be useful not only for the broader community, but also for individual members who want to approach me and ask the questions. I will always be ready to help. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Okay, let's ask Arsen this question number four, which again is a two-parter. What is your strategy to raise awareness about digital rights outside NCSG, and how do you intend to create capacity and opportunity among NCSG members? Arsen, over to you. Have we lost Arson? Because I don't hear him at the moment. Arson, are you still on the audio bridge? Okay, I do not hear you or see you. So I'm going to ask if we can get another dial out to you and get you patched back into the discussion. Okay, I see Mary says she's working on that. Thanks. Okay, so let's continue forward at this point to question number five. The three meetings in 2018 will be countries where Spanish is a main language. LAC is returning to meeting schedule after being frozen for 2 years. Can you understand the intersection between DNS policy and regional issues? Do you have any knowledge of the Latin American and Caribbean region internet policy priorities? Okay, and let me go back and start this question number five with Aiden Ferdeline. Aiden, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, everyone. This is Aiden Ferdeline, for the record. And thank you for that question. It's an important one, and I'm really pleased that we will have free meetings next year in countries where the predominant language is Spanish. And indeed, it's looking likely that the intersessional will be in a city where there is a lot of Spanish spoken as well. So pleased about that, particularly given I realize how disappointing it was for those from Latin America last year when the meetings in San Juan and in Panama City were relocated at the last minute, which was very disappointing. So I'm really, really pleased that that is changing for next year. Do I have any knowledge of internet policy priorities for the region? I think I have a high-level understanding of some of the issues, but I'm certainly not going to pretend that I have enough knowledge, and I would want to speak to people from the region to understand what is important to them. What I would think is important, and I appreciate these are not entirely denominated, but I think in terms of internet policy priorities in Latin America, there needs to be more local content in local languages because we know that is a barrier to the adoption of internet rates worldwide. And by local content, that is referring to a variety of topics, not just news, but also entertainment and educational content. I think that we may even want some more granularity between Latin America. I lived in Argentina for some time, and I appreciate that the countries of Latin America are all very diverse in terms of socioeconomic status, technological diversity, linguistic factors. And so when we speak about Latin America and the Caribbean, I think there needs to be some more granularity there that the region is not just this one piece, but can be broken down a little further, and that some of the challenges in internet policy priorities that may be relevant, say, in Uruguay are not necessarily going to be relevant in Chile or in Brazil. I think that we need to make sure that we continue to have GTODs and more GTODs in local languages, and we do not want them to be exploiting anyone. I remember earlier this year the situation with Tohuego where the renewal rate has gone up something like 3,000% over last year. And so we do need to be making sure that we're giving appropriate consideration to consumer choice and competition issues in the region. In terms of other issues, I think what is important for for Latin America, but also important for other areas in the Global South, is promoting growth and development of registries and registrars, accredited and otherwise, so that we can create more opportunity. We need to make sure that there can be fair and balanced domain name disputes in more languages. I think that we need to ensure that there is an understanding that knowledge and the right to words is universal. So those are issues that I can think of immediately. But if I was to be elected to serve on the UNESCO Council, I would be consulting with members from Latin America and the Caribbean to understand what they consider to be relevant DNS policy issues for their region. I would also be reviewing the DNS marketplace study that ICANN conducted last year, I believe, to understand from that research some of the issues and recommendations that have been put forward. And I will be listening. I'm not going to pretend to, as someone who is not Latin American myself, to be able to speak knowledgeably on the issues just yet. But thanks very much.
Thank you, Aiden. Okay, let's go on to Tatiana here. And question number five. Tatiana, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. First of all, I would like to say, as Aiden said already, that I'm very happy that the three meetings would be in Spanish-speaking countries and two of them in the Latin American region. I will not pretend that I understand specifically deeply issues in Latin American region related to DNS. I do understand that there is the intersection between DNS policy and regional issues. I have just been back from Buenos Aires days ago, where I was lecturing at the University of St. Andrews at the Internet Policy and Internet Governance and Internet Diplomacy course. I was giving a lecture on cybersecurity, actually. But what struck me is that I saw that I was quite well aware about issues in this field, but I was really surprised how nuanced it was. And I believe that as I'm not living in Latin American region, I see very good names, for example, here on the call. I see Renata, I see Bruna. I know that Luis Marie Jurel is a member of an onboarding program at ICANN. I know that Martin Silva Valiant is putting his name for this election for the GNSO Council. I will work closely with all the people in Latin American region. I believe that you guys are very, very vocal, and I'm very happy that you're vocal. I'm very happy that you're present. I'm very happy that, for example, the NCUC fellow for the Abu Dhabi meeting is coming from Latin American region. So how I'm going to do this? Yes, I'm going to consult people from Latin America. Yes, I'm going to email them. I'm going to issue the calls for comments for policy development process, asking which regional issues, which regional nuances I as a counselor or we as counselors are going to take into account, and also which works with the GNSO Council and which bring policy issues on board, which discuss issues with counselors. Bring your names forward, join the policy perspective, and be there, be vocal. So, yes, I'm going to take into account regional issues, be it Latin American region or any region, African region, European region, and I'm going to consult the broader membership on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. If we've got Arsen back on the line, let me read question number five to you. Okay, the three meetings in 2018 will be in countries where Spanish is the main language. Latin and Caribbean is returning to the meeting schedule after being frozen for 2 years. Can you understand the intersection between DNS policy and regional issues? And do you have any knowledge of the Latin American Caribbean region internet policy priorities? Arsene, are you on the line?
Yes, Robin. I'm sorry again. I got cut off, and I'm glad I'm back online. So this is Senator Rally. I didn't hear like all of the questions, but what I heard is if I do have any knowledge in the policy priorities in the Latin America, region. So I will just make two comments, few remarks on that, and I hope I'll be able to answer some of the questions. So actually, as a member of the NCSC, I mean, I've had the privilege of visiting the region a couple of times during, I believe, most recently during the IGF in Mexico and even in Brazil the previous year. As I also said, I'm much involved in the government space. And most of the issues that I know of relevance for the region are actually most of what I know as policy priorities are actually not directly related to the DMS. But there are so many of them which there are some ways where we can try and link some of these violations that are happening in the Latin America region, and which can also have an impact on the DMS and the DMS ecosystem. So I can't say that I have like a very good knowledge about the region, but we are fortunate to have so many members of that specific region who are also very vocal and who are sharing with us any updates, any news or information that is coming from the region. So as a councillor, which as I know, representing all the regions and all the members coming from different regions, I will be making sure the voice of Latin America as well is understood and we discuss with our members from that region. I've noted from managing other leads, but not I've noted that we have so many members in the LAC region, but who are also having issues with English, the same as some Africans as well who are having issues with English. So most of the people in Latin America who are not able to speak English are very often left behind because they can't express themselves. It's the same for the people who only speak French or who have like a basic level of English level. So I believe there are so many ways to encourage greater participation from this region so we can be able to be on the forefront of some of those issues like censorship on the domain system. I know this is something that is widely discussed in the region, and through the support and the input that we're receiving from our valued members in the region, like Renata and to just name her, we'll be able to have the region as well having their issues or their concerns being discussed at the council. But most important, and to sum up my point, even if I don't have very, very good knowledge about the issues or the priorities, the policy priorities that are related to the DMS in Latin America, but at least we are fortunate to have members in that region who will be a valuable source of information whenever there is something that we need to push for. But also, this is something very important. We'll be, as we sit in the council, we'll be also sitting with so many other groups, so many other constituencies or other stakeholder groups, which where they might be raising issues of that region, and others representing the non-commercials, we will also try and give in and support the views that you think are relevant to our members in all the other different regions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arsene. Well, I've got you right here on the line, and I'm sorry you missed answering question number four because you got disconnected a few minutes ago. Let's go back to question number four for you and see if you'd like to take this opportunity to answer question four as well, which is a two-parter. What is your strategy to raise awareness about digital rights outside NCSG, and how do you intend to create capacity building among NCSG members?
So this is Afton, back on the line. Thank you very much, Robin, for bringing back the question. I got practice and I didn't have the opportunity to answer the question. I have only one strong point that I would like to raise here with regard to the participation of our new members, because I consider capacity building for our members that they include like outreach activities where we go and recruit new members. We talk to them about what we do and why we need them to be part of the policy discussion that is happening on the face of that group. Something that we do pretty well with the leadership of the NCHG, but also the leadership at the COP 20 level, so the NCC and the NPOC. There are so many of the onboarding program that we discussed and so on. There are so many outreach and the recent one that happened in Johannesburg. So our members are actually doing well through the coordination of the leadership to make sure we have outreach activities. But something that I wanted to raise, which is important, I believe, and speaking again from pushing on my kind of newcomer heart, I believe sometimes the NCSP public list can be so busy with so much technical terminology during the discussion, which is leaving behind our valued newcomers who just joined. And sometimes, I don't blame them, but sometimes our veterans on our public list can be busy discussing very deeply some of the issues which are very relevant for us as NCSP. But most of the time, they forget to slow down a bit or to kind of speak or break that they're taking into simple terms, which might have helped to have like a broader participation from our membership. And sometimes when we do complain about the fact that we have less participation from some members, I know from being on their feet, I know one of the big issues is for our newcomers, there is no way, I mean, apart from the message to welcome them, there is not that much capacity building programs that may help our new members to be able to also anchor and be part of the discussions that we have in. The one thing that I'll be pushing for as a council member, working of course with the leadership of the stakeholder group as well as on the constituency level, is to make sure some of those discussions are broken down or are being put in simple terms that will be allowing our new members as well to build their capacity and be able to participate. Because we may be doing well in outreach, having so many members who are joining the stakeholder group of different constituencies, but as a result, those members will not be very active until the leadership of the stakeholder group or the constituency level are making sure the discussions that are happening are not only too technical for our new members, but sometimes we have some relaxed discussion. Wherever there is any high level interest topic, someone can come and break it down to help our members as well understand. I believe this is something that should be also contributing to the capacity building for our new members. And of course, as I said, in raising awareness of digital rights, I'm heavily involved in the Indian government space, and I've been collaborating with NCSG on some other different groups. So we'll be able to use those opportunities to speak about the NCSG, to speak about some of those issues that we consider highly relevant for our group, and try to align some other groups or some other stakeholder groups who have the same interest or who are fighting somehow or on the same issues. Or I mean, basically, we'll be joining with or reaching out or working in conjunction with the other groups and other stakeholder groups with whom we agree on some specific issues or some specific policy discussion, so that we can improve our level of our level of conversation to pushing forward some of these policy discussions for us to be able to come up with some some good outcomes for our stakeholder group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arsene. Okay, let's continue forward, and we are on question number six, and we'll go back to Aidan Ferdelin to get us started with question number six, which is, what is your strategy to get youth actively participating in activities of NCSG in particular, and the work of ICANN in general? Aidan, you have the floor.
Thanks for that, Robin. Hi, everyone. Aidan Ferdelin again. It's a really great question. The strategy for youth participation in NCSG activities and also ICANN activities in general. I see myself, and I want to be very careful with my response here, only because I'm running to be on the GNSO Council, and I'm not sure if my strategy would perhaps be out of scope for the position that I'm seeking. This is something that I think would be better executed by the executive committee of the NCSG, but that is certainly something that I would be happy to discuss with them and to share ideas with them, because I agree that this is an important issue, that we do want to build a new cadre of leaders who are motivated to learn, who want to engage and to act within their region and beyond. And we certainly want to mobilize youth beyond internet governance specific, sorry, not beyond, within internet governance specific topics. I am 26 years of age myself. I am a member of the Youth Coalition on Internet Governance, and I made my way into the ICANN community after participating in the Next Gen at ICANN program. So there are already pathways for youth to enter into the ICANN community, and I'm certainly happy to engage with other youth very sincerely and to share my experience, my own pathway to engagement, and to answer questions that others may have. And I think not only in my experience, but in the experiences of other youth that I've engaged with, we do not want to be siloed. We do not want to be seen as a separate stakeholder group. We simply want to have a seat at the same table as other people when it comes to policy discussions. And that's something I'm very strong about, is that there should be a very merit-based approach taken to how policy is set at ICANN. So I'm not going to be in particular looking to have a strategy for youth engagement, but I'd be very open to having a strategy for engagement opportunities in general for people who have the interest and the capability to get engaged. How I would go about that is something that I would certainly want to discuss with the NCSG's executive committee. I would not want to be treading on anyone's toes at this stage. But one thing I will say for now is that if newcomers or there are any members who are looking to get involved in our community, who are looking to join a working group, who have questions about steps that they can take at the moment, it might not be the most structured approach, but feel free to reach out to me. I'm certainly happy to share my own experience with you and to try to answer some of the questions that you might have. And hopefully over time we'll be able to institutionalize this a bit. I've certainly been trying over the past year. I've been working with the amazing Kathy Kleinman, as well as two other mentees, originally Sandra Lee, now Louise Rao, developing some onboarding materials for the NCUC. Perhaps we will be able to scale up that up to the NCSG level in the future, but again, that is a conversation that needs to be had with the NCSG Executive Committee. I would not be seeking to do that as part of my platform for seeking a position in the GNSO Council. That is an NCSG member. That is something that I'm very passionate about, and I would certainly want to be helping more people be able to actively participate in our activities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aidan. Tatiana, would you like to take question number six on strategy for youth participation?
Very much, Robin. Sure, I would love to answer this question. Well, first of all, I would agree with Aidan that this is actually the mandate of the executive committees, both of NCSG and two constituencies, NPOC and NCUC. But as an active member of the NCUC executive committee, I have an answer to this because I believe that even if I'm elected as a GNSO counselor, I will not stop doing what I'm doing now to get youth actively participate in NCSG and ICANN in general. Well, as I mentioned, there is already the pathway to this because we have people coming in from Next Generation program at ICANN on the fellowship and the fellowship ICANN program. So basically two tracks. And going to these people, reaching out to these newcomers, getting active youth interested in NCSG issues and getting them involved and building capacity among them has definitely been on my table for the past, I don't know, year or maybe even two. So this is the first track. Secondly, in my like normal working capacity, I frequently go somewhere and I teach at youth schools. For example, I taught at the youth school in Tallinn for Eurodig in my region, and I think Aidan can confirm that I did outreach. But apart from doing outreach at these events, I also try to speak to youth, to the most active non-commercials, trying to get them interested, trying to get them engaged. My personal strategy for this is reach out, encourage and build capacity then. And I also think that youth shouldn't exist in silos. I think that youth has the same weight, you know, as any member. I always tell to young people, and to be honest, I don't even like saying young people, you know, because some of them have knowledge on some issues more than I do on some of the issues. I always tell to them, the more input you provide to ICANN, to policymaking, to outreach, the more benefits, the more merits you get, the more active you can be, the more results of your input you can see. And I believe that this is the message, my personal message, that I will be always delivering during the outreach, be it youth or be it any other stakeholder group. Last but not least, I believe that if youth thinks that there is any specific issue for them, they always have opportunity to speak out at NCSG or NCUC. And we, who are not that young anymore, are certainly there to help them to build this capacity for speaking and for voicing their concerns and for raising their concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Arsene, let's go to you with question number 6. And what is your strategy to get youth actively participating in activities of NCSG in particular and the work of ICANN in general? Arsene, over to you. I don't hear anything. Do others hear Arsene speaking, or have we lost him again? Do folks hear anything on the line right now? Arsene, are you on the call? Okay, it looks like maybe we've lost him. Others are not hearing him either. Miriam, could we ask you to try to give him a dial out again for the final questions of the call? Okay, well, let's move on in the interim to question number 7. Okay, what are the subjects, PDPs, as in policy development processes, that you will work on or would like to see NCSG developing during your term? Aidan Fertilein, would you like to take question number 7 first, please?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Hi, everyone. This is Aidan Fertilein again. And the questions are, what are the subjects or policy development processes that I would be working on if I was elected? For me, it would be more of the same. I continue to engage with the Next Generation Registration Directory Service to replace who is Policy Development Process Working Group. I would continue to
make sure that I was fully briefed on the issues that are taking place in this working group, but I would also be seeking to have a high-level understanding of what the other GNSO working groups are up to as well. And I think that's important because my understanding of the role of a GNSO counselor is that I should not be siloing myself and only having a field of expertise in one issue, but I need to have an understanding of all of the issues that the GNSO Council is dealing with to make sure that the council is indeed managing that process appropriately. And so I would seek to do that. I would be wanting to provide some oversight over these processes. I would be making sure that we have an appropriate level of NCSG member coverage in all of the working groups. And if I was to identify an area where I think we really need some more support or we are under-resourced relative to update quarter groups, I would be seeking to take some action there. And I would be making sure that our non-commercial orientated perspectives are being appropriately fed into the outputs of the work that all of the different GNSO working groups are producing. I know that sounds rather broad. I know I haven't named many individual issues, but that is intentional. I think the role of a GNSO counselor is not to be specializing in anything like I have been doing over the past year and a half, but rather to be having a broader overview of all of the issues that are taking place. The GNSO is working on some really important work at the moment. It's going to be working on some very important projects over the course of my term, if I was to be elected to it. Some very significant issues and the commitment that I can make to you is that I will remain informed and I will keep you updated on them because it is very important to me that the NCSG is well represented in all discussions, no matter how relative to the number of resources that we have to be able to allocate to them. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Aiden, for Deline. Tatiana Chopina, question six. Question seven. What are the subjects and PDPs that you will work on or would like to see NCSG developing during your term?
Thank you very much, Robin. Tatiana Chopina speaking for the record. I certainly believe that as a GNSO counselor, I should work on everything that comes through GNSO, any policy development process. If I think about what is right now on the table in front of GNSO, currently the most interesting for me are non-PDP, non-policy development process, CWG on the use of country and territory names as TLDs. I would like to put more attention for PDP on new GTLD subsequent protection mechanisms in all GTLDs. But apparently, apart from these priorities, I would like to work on everything and, as Aiden said, as a counselor, keep track and inform the membership about everything. If I look to the future, I also think that some of the accountability, I do believe that some of the accountability issues we are working on now might come on the table of the GNSO counselors or GNSO if I'm elected during my term. Like, for example, right now, the Working Group on Human Rights is recommending each supporting organization and each advisory committee to develop their own mechanisms for addressing human rights in the policy development processes or advice-giving processes. And I believe if this recommendation would be actually go past the approval, it would be up to GNSO to develop the mechanism on how each PDP will take into account human rights. And if I'm elected for 2 years term, I believe that this question will come up during my term. And I believe that some of the community members are already talking that GNSO, and in particular, and other supporting organizations and advisory committee have already think about these issues and how they're going to do assessment of the human rights on the policy development accountability recommendations are going to be passed. In addition to what I'm going to do on the GNSO Council, I am going to vote in the accountability process till it ends. I also believe that right now, like, I'm serving as a replacement for the on the GNSO Council for the council who had resigned not long time ago. And I believe that there are some issues, and I talked about them on the previous call. Like, for example, the status of cross-community working group on the internet governance, because GNSO Council wants to withdraw the GNSO participation in this group. And I believe that this might be a very wrong step that probably ICANN should be informed about internet governance without going outside of its mandate. But ICANN does not operate in vacuum, and we cannot leave these issues for the board only. So I believe there might be some broader issues in front of the GNSO than just policy development process, still within ICANN mandate, still within GNSO mandate, and I'm going to work on them as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tatiana. I think we're still working on getting Arsene back on the line, so let me move forward to question number 8, our final question that's been submitted. Do you know which are NCSG and Twitter addresses? No Googling, please. On a more serious note, how can NCSG and its constituencies improve online communications as related to PDPs for counselors? Aidan Ferdelin, would you like to take question number 8 first, please?
I certainly would. Hi, everyone. This is Aidan Ferdelin. I actually do know the NCSG's Twitter handle. I believe it is NCSG_ICANN, or vice versa. Perhaps it is ICANN_NCSG. The Facebook URL, I am not committed to memory, but I know there is a Facebook group that I am a member of. So I do occasionally, which is generally Renata who is posting into the group, so I always see the notification. To the serious question, though, how can the NCSG and its constituencies improve online communications as related to PDP to counselors? We do need to do a bit of work in that area. We need to make sure that members know what their counselors are up to. And so we do have, as I believe Tatiana mentioned earlier in this call, we do have a mechanism for doing that already. We have we have phone calls as it is. But we do need to have better ways of communicating with one another, whether that is more webinars so that we have more opportunities like this to speak with one another in small groups, to be able to answer questions, to be able to speak freely about the topics, whether it is a case of experimenting with new communication platforms like Slack, whether it is adopting some of the best practices that the NCUC executive committee committee members like Renata have been doing, whether a parallel WhatsApp and Telegram channels that are communicating information to those. We need to have conversations there. But to answer the question, I do broadly agree with the sentiments that we can work to improve communication, and you certainly would have the right to expect a degree of transparency and accountability from me if you were to elect me onto the GNSO Council. I should not be, it should not be a great mystery what I'm up to on for. Thanks.
Thank you, Aidan. Tatiana, would you like to field the final question on NCSG's online communications.
Thank you, Robin. I would be happy to. I do believe that during my time at NCUC, we used so many different channels. We used Tacos on Trello, we used Rocket Chat, we tried to use Slack, we tried to use Skype, we tried to use Facebook. I know the Facebook account. I'm a member of NCSG group. We tried to use Twitter. We basically are broadcasting, trying to broadcast messages using all the channels. I think that it's not about channels anymore. It's about the quality of communication when it comes to GNSO Council. And it's about the quality of information that particular council transmits to the membership. And I will be certainly approachable through any of the channels, but I do believe that to make it accessible for everyone, any GNSO Council should use old good mailing list. This is the first tool. Many people do not have access to Facebook. Many people will not use Rocket Chat or Skype for whatever reason. They don't have time. They have too much on their plates. Email will be read by everyone. So certainly my priority as a counselor, in addition to all the channels where I already participate, would be using email lists for updates about policy process, about GNSO meetings and calls, about basically everything. And apparently I will be reachable on all the channels where I actually exist. Even I think I exist on the Rocket Chat for the group, if it still exists. Secondly, I do believe, as I had mentioned, policy calls and policy outreach and policy capacity building would be very important. And I believe that NCSG also got money for one of the programs to build capacity on writing policy comments. And I believe that GNSO counselors should be a part of this effort. I also think that, and again, I can support Aidan here wholeheartedly, I think that webinars on particular topics, like, for example, I remember Robin was organizing the webinars on accountability process are very important to inform the membership on what is going on, to gather feedback, to get newcomers interested, to build capacity among those who want to participate. So basically, I do believe in the webinars, and I believe that we have to have more of them. Whoever is elected on the council, these people, be it me or not me, these people should really take active part in these efforts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. I wanted to give the candidates for council who are on the line still an opportunity for some closing remarks, just very briefly, please. I know we've got some people on the call here at the end who are not on the call at the beginning, so don't worry about being too repetitive, but I just wanted to see if our candidates wanted to have a very quick, brief, concluding remark before we call this call to a close. Aidan Ferdling, would you like to make any concluding remarks?
Yes, with pleasure. Thanks for that, Robin. This is Aidan Ferdling for the record. Before I make my closing remark, I was just thinking about something that one of our previous counselors, Emma, told me a few years ago, because I think he had a really good point, and it's something that I want to share with you. What he told me was that to be an effective member of the GNSO Council, you need to know the bylaws, you need to know the operating procedures, you need to know the PDP manual, you need to know the working group guidelines and how they fit in together with the bylaws. Basically, you need to know how the bureaucracy of the GNSO works to be able to perform well in this role. And thinking back to sort of just reflecting on my answer to the seventh question before as to if I was to be elected to the GNSO Council, what are the subjects that I would work on? That would be one of my first priorities, actually. I certainly want to learn from and to take the advice very seriously of those who have been in this position before. And one of my first priorities would be making sure that I know the new bylaws very comprehensively, and I understand the operating procedures that the GENOSO Council operates within. But to conclude, and thank you so much for joining the call today, and thank you for listening to my positions on these issues, and thank you for the really great questions. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm willing and able to represent the NCSG as a GENOSO counselor. I would consider it a great privilege to be able to represent you, to represent our entire membership. I am committed to advocating for freedom of expression and privacy as they relate to GENOSO issues, as well as others that I mentioned before, due process in ICANN activities, fair domain name disputes. I am committed to ensuring that non-commercial user interests are reflected in our policy outcomes. I believe that I am qualified to represent the NCSG on the GENOSO Council. I think I have a sufficient understanding, a sufficient working knowledge of ICANN and internet policy more broadly, but I am also the first to put my hand up and to say that I don't know everything, and I will be coming back to you to ask questions. And if I was elected, it would be very important to me that the positions I am taking forward are not my personal views, but are broadly representative of the positions of our entire membership. So I would be wanting to engage, I'd be wanting to listen to your thoughts, and I would be keeping you updated on my activities. If there are any questions about other positions that I take, if there are concerns that you might have, if you want to know more about my background or why I believe I'm qualified to represent the NCSG on the GENOSO Council, please reach out to me. I'm always on email. You can also reach me on Skype. My username is afodaline. But I would just conclude by saying thank you very much. I would be honored to represent the NCSG and to represent you on the council. And if I was elected, I would do my very best to serve our community and to ensure that non-commercial user interests are better reflected in our policy outcomes. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Aiden Ferdelin. Tatiana Tropina, do you have any brief concluding remarks that you would like to make?
Yes, thank you, Robin. First of all, thank you for carrying out this call. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for Aiden. Thanks to Aiden and Arsen for their answers. I believe that they're two candidates, and I wish them the best of luck. Thanks to everyone for your questions, because you really made me thinking about things that maybe I overlooked, and I certainly will take them into account if I'm elected. And my last word would be, I'm available. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to put my time and commitment into this position. But I want to say that even if I'm not elected, I have been active for 2 years already. I will continue being active, because certainly if there is no faith in me, member of NCUC, as a member of NCSG, and I would be happy to doing so. So that's all from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. Do we have Arsen on the line yet? If we do,
yes.
I'd like to give him
yes,
a chance.
Robin.
Oh, fabulous. So let me give you a chance if you've got any concluding remarks that you'd like to make. And also, since we missed you for question number, if you have any suggestions how NCSG and its constituencies can improve online communications, this would also be another opportunity to field that question. Please, you have the floor, Arsen.
Yeah, thank you so much, and I really apologize for not being able to join the whole call. I had issues connecting, and I'm really grateful to our technical team our technical people who made sure I was able to join the call. So I believe, and I would like to thank all the candidates, Aiden and Tatiana, and anyone else, Martin and Michael, who are not on this call, for also standing. This is something that I really encourage and consider this as a great opportunity and an honor for me to be even considered and nominated for this position, which I really consider as an opportunity to make a change, an opportunity to to make sure our voices, the voices of our membership, is heard on the council. So in order to improve our online communications, I believe since we most of the times we're working on the internet is a wonderful tool that we can actually leverage on, that we can actually use to maximize in making sure we use the time between two meetings wisely and make sure our members are as active as they can. And one of the things that I believe will be helpful, and we will work if elected with the leadership of the stakeholder group, as well as the leadership with our constituencies, in making sure there are so many programs that will help everyone to be able to connect and be able to participate in our policy development processes in some developing countries where, and I'm really grateful for being nominated and being from a developing country. We're having a lot of issues participating in different calls, not only because of the issues of accessing the internet, but also the connectivity, which is an issue. And I would like to take this as a challenge if our valued members decide to give me this opportunity to serve you on the council. I'll try my best and I'll do my best to make sure I'm always available for the calls. I'm always available for the meetings. I'll make sure I'm also available for our members, which I will consider as a top priority during my term on the council. We have so many newcomers. We have so many wonderful veterans who have been at the beginning of ICANN. I only joined ICANN in 2014, so I humbly recognize that we have people who have the knowledge and the capabilities and to whom we will be always reaching out and seeking their counsels and seeking their participation into supporting the work we're doing. But also we will need to emphasize and put a lot of effort, and this I will make sure we work with other councillors and the leadership in making sure our participants are really, really benefiting from the fact that we're representing them on the council and all the other representatives that we have on the policy committee, the finance committee, and any other committee that we have inside the NCSG. So our members need to be able to know who are our leaders. And I believe as one of the ways to maximize the online presence of the internet would be to organize, I don't know, maybe in the form of webinars or any other conference call, where we'll be talking and meeting our leaders. This is something that I really look forward to engaging with our leadership, and I will make sure this is happen. Even if I'm not selected for the council, this is something I'm willing to push for the leadership of our constituencies and our stakeholder group to organize like every 3 months or wherever a meetup where our members will meet with their representatives and hear from each one of them on what they are up to. Because sometimes we elect, so there are some of our representatives who are nominated, but throughout the year, only less of them will be reporting back to the community. So we won't be able to know exactly who is doing what in a different constituency or any other leadership position that we put them into. So as a councillor, or even if I'm not elected, this is something I will really push forward and to our leadership people. And this will be one of the ways we can increase the online participation of our members, because some members don't see any value of joining because they believe this will be either too technical or they won't have time to ask their questions. And this will be probably my final point. I will be always encouraging our members to throw in their ideas, to throw in their questions, or to even participate and seek guidance from our veterans. I believe we have some very wise and knowledgeable people on the group, on our stakeholder group, and I believe they are willing to be supporting or even correcting whenever appropriate anything that may be said by any of our member, which is I don't know, maybe which is inappropriate, but in a way that will not take the member down, but that will encourage them to provide next time. So I'm really thankful for this opportunity, and thanks to Robin, thanks Tatiana, thanks Aiden for making up to this call, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity. Our members sent wonderful questions, as I was able to answer some of them available throughout the week and throughout the year, or throughout the time I'll be available for the NCSG. To answer any other specific question with regard to what I mentioned in my statement or anything else I was able to say on this call. So I really look forward to working with our valued members, either on the council or even as a regular member contributing on the mailing list. So thank you very much, and I look forward to engaging more in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Arsene. We did just get one final last question that just came in through the chat. So while I've got you on the line here, let me ask it. What do you think about the role of ICANN vis-a-vis public safety? Arsene?
Yes. That's actually a good question. I believe if I can say like overall to answer, I may probably not be good in answering that question, but I believe ICANN has a responsibility in so many areas of the internet. Though we have what we consider as the core of the business that we're doing, but I've seen, and I believe I wrote it in one of the answers to an email, I believe ICANN is a very evolving organization, and some of the issues we may have considered as non-relevant for ICANN or for our members can be at some point relevant. So I consider ICANN as a very evolving organization, and we should keep on and being open to any upcoming issues or arising issues that come up and that we feel can be of interest or can be affecting non-commercial users in the DNS, in the DNS system. So I probably not have a specific answer on that question.
Thank you very much, Arsene, and thank you to our other candidates who were with us today, Tatiana Tropina and Aiden Ferdeline. And I would like to also remind folks there are two other people also running in this election, Michael Karanikolas and Mark Silva, and both of those two participated in the Meet the Candidates call that we had on Friday. So I would like to encourage people to go back and listen to the recording of that. And with that, I would like to thank you all for your questions and thank the candidates for their answers and thank you all for your time and participation, and happy voting. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now you may stop the recording and disconnect all calls, please. Thank you very much for your time today. Goodbye.